This morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus. You'd never guess that, would you? We're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 3. If you'll notice on your bulletin, the title of the sermon series is Jesus, a study in the book of Luke. Today we're in Matthew. The reason we're in Matthew is because Matthew gives a few more details about the baptism of Jesus. Next week we'll be back into Luke. As a matter of fact, we'll refer to Luke today in our study. But we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 3. And verse 13 is where we begin. Would you stand as we read from God's precious word about the baptism of Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word and the opportunity you've given us today to worship you and to examine your word and learn from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just guide our thoughts, guide our hearts, that you would open your word, open your scriptures, Lord, to us, that we may know you, that we may be drawn closer to you. And we, Lord, give you all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to begin. I'm going to cover three things in this message today. Number one, we're going to talk about the reputation of Jesus. And number two, we're going to talk about the relation of Jesus. And number three, we're going to talk about the revelation of Jesus. Now, once again, we begin today at the baptism of Jesus. And I want you to begin by understanding what kind of man Jesus was up to this point. And we do that by examining the things that John did not know about Jesus at this given time. Did you know when Jesus comes to John at this point and he approaches John that John didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God? John did not know that he was the Messiah. And we have the picture that as Jesus approaches, or this is a picture that I had for some time, that Jesus approaches the crowd and John's baptizing by the Jordan River, and as he's baptizing, Jesus approaches and the crowds part and the heavens just open up and John says, Behold the Lamb of God. Well, that doesn't happen till tomorrow, okay? In the series of events. Actually, here, John does not realize that Jesus Christ, or that Jesus is the Christ. As a matter of fact, if you want to know where that's found, in John chapter 1, verse 33, John speaking there, he said, I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And we know that the Spirit did not descend and light upon Jesus until after the baptism. So as Jesus approaches John, he does not realize that he is the Son of God. However, John does know a few things about Jesus. You see, John was very familiar with Jesus. As a matter of fact, they were relatives. In Luke chapter 1, you can see where Mary went to Elizabeth after the birth announcement of Jesus. And she goes to her relative Elizabeth, and they spend time together. And no doubt, the way that families were back in that day, John grew up with Jesus. He knew everything. He knew what kind of character Jesus had. He knew everything about Jesus, basically, as far as the kind of person he was. He knew that Jesus had a hunger for God. That's why last week, as we studied how that Jesus remained behind in the temple and his parents didn't realize it until 3 days later, you know. And John knew that Jesus not only had a hunger for God, but that Jesus was raised up according to the customs and taught in the Jewish religion. John knew that Jesus was a man of God. As a matter of fact, Luke chapter 2, we read about that. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I want you to get at this point, realize that Jesus did have a reputation, and his reputation was a man of God. As a matter of fact, it was such, he had such a reputation that as he approaches John at this point, John says, "Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, Jesus, this is backwards. I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." And he didn't say that because he knew Jesus was the Son of God. He said that because he knew what kind of man Jesus was. Now, what do we learn from that? What do we get from that? What I want you to get today is the genuineness, if that is a word, the genuineness of Jesus. You see, Jesus did not come as a great military man conquering the world. Jesus didn't come as a great politician winning the crowds. He didn't come as a great philosopher introducing a new way of thinking. Jesus came as a godly man living and practicing what he preaches. Now, why is that so important to understand? Well, here it is. Okay, are you ready? The great escape for people today away from Christianity are hypocrites. How many times have you heard it said, "I will not go to that church because it's full of hypocrites"? And if you've ever said that, you might as well come join us, because one more hypocrite won't hurt us, right? Right? But you know, they look at us, and you can even look at my life, and you can see the things that aren't in place, and the things that he's a preacher, he should do better than that. And I admit that oftentimes in my life. But I want you to understand the relationship that Jesus had with his God, his Father, and how genuine he was when he came to this earth. And it reminds me, you know, I should be genuine also. It shouldn't be just about what we do here. People should know who we are based on how we live out there. You see, that's what John knew of Jesus at this point. He knew he was genuine because of the man, the godly man that he was. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 22:1, I want to remind you of at this point. A good name is chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Do you realize what name you bear today? Do you realize you are a child of God? We bear the name of our Heavenly Father. May we too follow the example of Jesus and be genuine in who we are and who we reflect in our daily lives. That was the first thing. Jesus was real. And if you want a religion that's real, you got to start with Jesus. Okay? It doesn't start with denominations. It doesn't start with religious programs. It starts with Jesus. If you want to be real, you've got to start with Jesus. Second thing I want to share with you, the relation of Jesus. And this is so cool as I examine what Jesus does. First thing Jesus does when he arrives, he waits. Did you know, once again, Jesus didn't arrive that day, the crowds part, and the heavens sang out, and behold, the Lamb of God. That wasn't what happened. Jesus arrived that day, and he waited. How do we know that? Well, in the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 21, I want you to notice what it says. When all the people were baptized. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens opened up. Jesus arrived, and he sits there, and he waits. He listens as he hears John preaching the message of repentance. Jesus sees the sinners, the harlots, the publicans, and all manner of thieves and social outcasts that respond with repentance to John's message. And he watches as every one of them are baptized. And after everyone has responded, Jesus goes to John and says, John, now it's my turn. What was Jesus doing there? Why? Why? Well, Jesus, my friends, was relating. He was relating to those sinners, those publicans, those tax collectors. He was actually identifying with those people. You know, we talk about how baptism is our identification with Christ, and it is. But do you realize Jesus identified with us? After every one of those sinners, the social outcast, had been baptized, Jesus followed. Said, these are the people that I want to be, that I want to relate to or identify with. Did you ever notice about the life of Jesus that he didn't hang out with the religious crowd? Did you ever notice that? You know, he picked the most unusual people to be around. As a matter of fact, when dealing with the religious crowd, the scribes and the Pharisees, he said they have no need of a physician. Why? Because they couldn't see their illness, their spiritual illness, no matter how Jesus tried to relate to them. But you know who could see their illness? That sinner, that harlot, that publican, that tax collector who was hated by everyone. As a matter of fact, Jesus related to tax collectors so much, he picked one of them as an apostle. As a matter of fact, he related to the harlot so much that he chose one to be a close personal follower of his, Mary Magdalene. Now, what I want you to get here, what I want you to understand, is how that Jesus didn't play the religious game. You know? He didn't play the let's go to church and hold hands and we'll all get along and everybody will go to heaven game. Jesus came to change lives. And he did that by relating to people. Now don't get me wrong. Jesus didn't participate in their parties. He didn't participate in their sin. But he certainly reached out to the sinners. And see, what I want you to get today, if you're here and religion today has turned you off, you know, the church scene has turned you off because, you know, they're all about condemning me and condemning the way that I look and condemning the clothes that I wear and the way I wear my hair. Listen, I want you to disregard that for just a moment. Let's talk about Jesus. Do you realize Jesus didn't come to condemn you? He didn't. He came to save you. As a matter of fact, in John 3:6-17, it said, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And verse 18, he who believes is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You may be looking at me and you say, well, that preacher, he's just pointing his fingers and he's just as bad as I am. And that's a true statement. And you may have a problem with me and you may have a problem with churches, but I want to tell you the bottom line is it's not me, a preacher, that saved you. It's not a church that saved you. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who saved you. And He did not come to condemn you. He came because you are already condemned. You need help. See, that's what this baptism of Jesus was all about. He was relating to those people who needed help. My question to you today is, can you go back to that time where you called upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you cannot, you, my friends, are condemned because you have not believed on the only begotten Son of God. It's not about condemning you. And boy, I've heard that. Hadn't you heard that? Well, I've got, you know, I'll wear my hair the way I want to. If I want long hair, I'll have it. And those religious people can just do what they want to do. I don't need them. And today, I want you to put aside how you wear your hair. I want you to put aside how you wear your jeans. I want you to put aside whether you've got a P piercing or whatever it is and that you use as a crutch to say, well, you know, I don't want any part of them. The question today is not do you want any part of church, do you want any part of Jesus? You need Jesus because you are condemned. And you see the picture here is Jesus followed and let every one of those sinners who were in need repent and be baptized. And then Jesus identified with them by being baptized with them. I just think that's so cool. I think that's so awesome how Jesus related. It gives new meaning to me. Isaiah 7:14. Where it says, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call His name Emmanuel. And you know what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. And it's not just talking about God was with them. He was there in the flesh. God was with them. He was on their side. He was living and doing so that they could have salvation. And that's what I want you to get today. Jesus is about you having salvation. Because you're already condemned. And without Jesus, there is no hope for you. Sometimes, I think it's easy to lose sight of what salvation's all about. So my friends, it's not about going to church. It's not about even getting in water and being baptized. It's about turning to Jesus because there is no help in any other shape, form, or fashion in this world or the one to come. It's about Jesus. Have you done business with Jesus? If not, why not? Again, you can point all the fingers you want at other people and you can say, I don't because they, but the bottom line is it's not between you and they, it's between you and Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with that? Not only did Jesus identify with the sinners by following them as after they were baptized. You see, the great picture it was painting was His death and His burial and His resurrection, what He would do for the sinners. Jesus wasn't just a nice guy. He wasn't just a good guy. My friend, He was the Savior who had come to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know how He's going to do it? He's going to go to a place called Calvary and He's going to die a common criminal's death because the wages of sin is death. And you're a sinner. Not Jesus. Remember we started out with His reputation there? Do you realize that Jesus didn't have any wild teenage years? Do you realize He didn't have any bad days as a kid? He never sinned. He was the Lamb without blemish. He was spotless. He was blameless. And He is going to go to Calvary because of those publicans and harlots and sinners that are being baptized that day. And not only that day, but He went to Calvary for every one of you today. Because every one of you, myself included, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He hung there on that cross and was crucified, suffering torture and agony. And He died there. And after He died, He was laid in that tomb. He experienced death for you and for me. And here's the glorious part. After 3 days, guess what happened? Jesus came out of that tomb alive. He rose from the grave. And you know why He rose from the grave? Because He was the first fruits. He was the first fruits, meaning that because He lives, because He rose from the grave will not hold those who've placed their faith and their trust in Him. Yeah, Jesus was painting that picture of dying for the sin of mankind. He was also painting that picture of rising up because death could not have victory over His life. My question again, have you done business with Jesus? Have you? I mean, All this was about you. It's about you. Finally, the revelation of Jesus. Jesus. And I like thinking about things, right? And I like thinking about how after Jesus, John lifted him up out of that water, how it says the heavens were opened. I don't know what that looked like, but it had to be really great, you know? And the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. I don't know what that looked like, but it had to be awesome. But the best part was that voice that came from God the Father when He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Can you imagine that? John had to be jumping up and down at this point. He's the one! He's the one! He's the one! You said it, and here it is. He's there. Just like you said it would be. Do you know what's really eye-opening to me and should be to all of us? Jesus was God's approved way of salvation. There is no other way. There is no plan B. There is no, if you don't like Christianity, let's chase after Buddhism, Muhammad, you know, whatever. No, there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. Listen, if you're trusting in yourself because you think you're a pretty good fellow and because of that you think you're going to heaven, you're just wrong. I love you, and I tell you that in love, but according to the Scripture, there's only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. No other way. And this example of where God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," that was God's stamp of approval. You don't know what's really cool about that? It's in the tenses in the Greek, they're not just past, present, and future tense. This is aorist tense. And the way that's constructed, and it's stating a fact. We could say, if you wanted to put in application here, God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I was pleased, in whom I am pleased, in whom I will be pleased. This is my Son. I am pleased with Him." Period. It's a statement of fact. I want you to get there is no other way, my friends. There is no other way. You hear so much today, and there are so many people who just think, "Well, I've been baptized, so I'm going to heaven." Nowhere does it say, be baptized to go to heaven. So many say, "Well, I go to church, so I'm going to heaven." Nowhere does it say, go to church and go to heaven. You know what it says? It says, "Whosoever calls on the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved." That's it. There is no other way. There is no plan B. Jesus was God confirmed. He was John confessed. I like the way that John wrote it in 3:34. He said, "I've seen and testified that this is the Son of God." That's what very simple message today. That's what I want you to understand. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. And you either accept that way or you reject God's appointed Son. And if you reject God's appointed Son, my friend, you're rejecting God. Please, today I challenge you. Look beyond religion. Look beyond denominations. Look beyond church buildings. Look beyond people. And behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. It's all about Jesus. Where do you stand with Jesus? John said, "I've seen and testified this is the Son of God." And I want to tell you something. I've not seen Him face to face. But I can testify to you with every ounce of of my being, with every fiber within myself, that I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I know that when I got on my knees and I called out to Him for salvation, I know He saved me. How do you know that, Brother Doug? I know because we have the promise of the Word of God that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, you have to understand God's desire for you. God's desire for you, once again, is not condemn you. His desire for you is to save you. As a matter of fact, according to John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's you. He loved you. Every one of you today. Brother Doug, you don't understand. I've been a pretty bad fellow. Well, join the club. Matter of fact, you'll have to get into a long line of pretty bad people. But the wonderful thing is, we don't qualify ourselves for salvation. We're made right by Jesus Christ, not by what we've done. God loves you. I want you to grab that. God loves you. And He's calling you to salvation. Today's the day. What are you going to do? Are you going to point at other people and use them as a crutch, as an excuse? Or are you going to say, yes, Jesus. It's between me and you. I call upon you to make you the Lord of my life. That's what this invitation is for. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise You. We thank You for the day. We thank You for Jesus. And the beautiful picture of His baptism that's painted in the Scripture. Lord, I pray for this congregation today. And I pray that, Lord, everyone present here gets it right. Realizing salvation's about their personal relationship with You. Lord, I pray that today will be the day that those who are lost call upon You for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray.